WKCR FM New York at 89.9 WKCR.org. And this is Sounds of China. WKCR FM 89.9 从哥伦比亚大学为您播出，这里是中华之音。这是秋蝉，是由黑鸭子演唱组呢为我们带来的。大家好，欢迎您收听中华之音，非常高兴呢又在一个美丽的星期六的早上呢与大家见面了。我是主持人舒荣。今天是9月30号，九月份的最后一天了，也是我们进入秋季以后的第一个星期六。那昨天呢，纽约电影节刚刚开幕了。这个电影节呢历时17天，届时呢会播出28部故事片、12部短片。那我们今天非常有幸的请到了这个林肯中心电影协会的主席、纽约电影节选片会的主席，同时也是我们哥伦比亚大学的教授理查德·佩纳先生到我们中华之音来做客。那第一个小时的节目呢，我们会跟理查德·佩纳教授谈一谈 纽约电影节上的中国电影，然后在第二个小时的节目中呢，舒荣将带着你游历一下中国电影百年。Welcome to Sounds of China. I'm your host, Shu Rong. Today is September the 30th, last day of September, and the first Saturday of the fall. What we just heard is 秋蝉, Autumn Cicada, and it's performed by Black Duck Band. New York Film Festival opened yesterday, and we are very happy and delighted to have...the program director of Lincoln Center Film Society and also the chairman of the selection committee of the New York Film Festival and also professor here at Columbia University, Richard Pena, to have him here with us today for Sounds of China. Mr. Richard Pena, welcome to Sounds of China.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Welcome again.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
First of all, let's graduations to you for the successful opening of New York Film Festival yesterday.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I think the film with which we opened, The Queen by Stephen Frears, with a really great performance by Helen Mirren, was very much appreciated by the crowds, and it's gotten excellent reviews, so I think the film is off to a good start.
Yeah, and the program lasts for 17 days.
Yes.
It has 28 films?
Right, 25 films plus three older films. We like each year to include at least a couple of older films, which for us are like rediscoveries or films that people haven't had a chance to see in a long time. So I guess it's a total of 28.
Okay, would you mind if I read some review from Friday's New York Times?
Your show.
It's from A.O. Scott, critics for New York Times Film Review, and a quote here. Its tone, it means New York Film Festival, tends to be serious, sober, and perhaps sometimes a little sedate, even when the movies it shows are daring and provocative. Does it reflect your personality a little bit?
Perhaps a little bit. No, I mean, I think one of the things about the festival, even long before I got there, is it's always been a program that's believed that films can attain the highest level of artistic seriousness. And so because of that, I think we tend to make few compromises in terms of what we think the audience will like or not like. In New York, fortunately, there's enough of an audience that really wants to see, I think, truly cutting-edge work that we're able to survive. But in that way, I think not all our films, of course, but some of our films are sometimes quite demanding.
And A.O. Scott goes on to say, quote, if I may trot out another metaphor, the New York Film Festival might be compared to an established, somewhat exclusive boutique holding its own in a world of big box superstores, oversized shopping malls, and internet retailers.
Yes, that was a nice thing to say. Basically, I think one of the things about that piece that was nice is there are many different types of film festivals in the world. We're one type, but I think one of the things that A.O. Scott in his piece did was delineate, I think, in a fairly clear and essentially fair way exactly what makes us different. If you look at the sort of panorama of North American and even more and more world film festivals, there tends to be a tendency for festivals to just keep growing almost exponentially, so that festivals such as Toronto and Montreal, for example, show well over 300 films, and I think our own Tribeca Film Festival here in New York City is probably up to about 250 or something like that. Whereas the New York Film Festival, since its founding in 1963, has always shown somewhere between 24 and 27 films. It can vary in a given year. And I think that that focus on really a very small, and we like to think very highly selected selection each year, highly selected group of films, is in one way what really distinguishes us. And happily, this critic, I think, was pointing that out.
Yeah, appreciate that as well. And what are the criteria for you to select, say, better films from a pool of good films?
Well, in the end, all criteria are simply arbitrary. I mean, there really is no science to this. It's just myself and four colleagues. We sit down and, look at films, and we argue and explain, and obviously some of us support some films more than others and all that kind of thing. But in the end, I think working collegially, we're able to come up with a slate that we believe is really the best group of films that we can show at that given time. So, a lot of it is just really, personal opinions. And fortunately, I think we have five people on the selection committee, all of whom have very strong tastes and I think, broad knowledge of cinema, but at the same time are willing to work with others.
And all the films coming from all over the world, from USA here, Europe, countries from Asia, and even Africa. And it really has international taste of it.
Well, I mean, I'm a great believer in the fact that, film talent is spread pretty evenly all over the world. There might be certain moments, like, say, Italy right after the war or China in the mid-1980s, where suddenly it seems to be that all the good filmmakers are coming from just that part of the world. But, those are, I think, more the exceptions than the rule. I think in any given year, if we get a good selection of films in to consider, we should be able in our final list to be, you know, fairly panoramic and encyclopedic within our limits of 25 or so films. This year, for example, we don't have any film from Latin America. I'm personally saddened by that because that happens to be my field of expertise, Latin American cinema. But, you know, we looked at a lot of films and just none of them in the end were, for us, films that we felt we could really back. So because of that, there's nothing this year. Could be that next year we'll have three or four. You know, every year is a very, it's a different slate.
Okay. And for this film festival, 44th already, we have two Chinese movies selected.
Yes.
And they are, first one is by director Tian Zhuangzhuang, the Go Master. Is
yes.
That right? And the second one is from Hong Kong, director Johnny Tu. And it's a triad election.
Election. Yeah.
And let's maybe talk about these two movies.
Great.
And let's start with the first one, Tian Zhuangzhuang.
Tian Zhuangzhuang is one of the sort of original members of the so-called fifth generation of Chinese filmmakers. That was, of course, that generation of film students who entered the Beijing Film Academy in 1978 and graduated in 1982. And they were really a transitional generation. The Film Academy had been closed during the Cultural Revolution, and this was the first group back. And often because of that, many of them were people who had, during the Cultural Revolution, been sent down, sent to various parts of China, went to work in farms, factories, spent time in the army. And among the people of this generation, of course, were not only Tian Zhuangzhuang, but Zhang Yimou, Chen Kaige, I mean, a number of extremely talented filmmakers. And that was really the generation that in the mid-1980s put filmmaking from the PRC, from the People's Republic, on the international film map. They're, you know, very interesting generation. I mean, there are some things that sort of, I think, characterize their early work especially, but of course they've gone their separate ways. Chuang Zhuangzhuang is probably of, say, the big three, the one who's remained a little, the most true to his roots in a way. I think both Zhang Yimou and Chen Kaige have gone off to do rather large international productions. I mean, some very, very fine films. But Chuang Zhuangzhuang has really remained much more kind of close to, I guess, where he started off. Productions that are in a certain way simpler, in a certain way continues to do a lot of exploration of film style. One of the things that really intrigued my colleagues and I about this film is it's a film that's almost structured like a game of Go. A lot of things in the film are not clear. A lot of them seem to be sort of feints or small gestures. An action will happen, and rather than seeing the conclusion, the film will just cut off there and move to another scene. It's really a wonderful film, shot both in China and in Japan. It's a co-production between Japan and China, and it tells the fascinating story of a real-life person, a Chinese man who became, who is popularly considered the greatest Go master of the 20th century. His name was Wu.
Wu Qingyuan. Yeah.
And he moved to China, to Japan in the 1930s and actually for a while lived there. And of course, you know, part of what the film is about the tension between China and Japan in this very era. Here is a Chinese man who goes to Japan, becomes the most renowned master of a very Japanese game, and yet at the same time, China, of course, has been invaded by Japan, and all the sort of war that it began in the 1930s is happening, and it deals very much with the ability of people to lock themselves into their own world and sort of forget everything else that's going on.
Let's take a little break and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
the main theme song from 2046 Wong Kar-wai's movie. We're delighted to have a guest here today with us at Sounds of China, Program Director of the Film Society of Lincoln Center and also Chairman of the Selection Committee of New York Film Festival, Richard Pena, here with us. And we've been talking about the first movie that will be shown at the 44th New York Film Festival, The Gold Master, directed by Tian Zhuangzhuang. 我们今天呢非常高兴能够由理查德·佩纳先生，也是哥伦比亚大学的一位教授，在这里呢跟我们谈一下中国电影在纽约电影节上的中国电影。我们刚刚说到呢是第一部片子《中国大陆的》导演田壮壮，他的片子《吴清源》讲的是围棋的棋圣，在中国出生的，然后呢到日本去进修，成为一代围棋棋圣。他的人生经历，其实吴清源呢现在呢 他还在日本生活着，已经有95岁了，高龄了。好，那我们继续我们跟理查德·佩纳教授的谈话。So we just talk about The Gold Master, directed by Tian Zhuangzhuang, and talking about Tian Zhuangzhuang really been true over the years to his roots of making movies. And I think it's not the first time that New York Film Festival selected his.
Right, this
pieces.
Is the third film by Chang Zhuangzhuang that we're presenting in the New York Film Festival. Also, the Horse Thief, one of his earlier films, was in our festival, New Directors, New Films. So, yes, we're great fans of his work and have always felt very close to him.
Yeah, and in 2002, he has a remake of a Chinese old movie. It's called Springtime in Small Town.
Yes.
That was selected
right.
as well.
Yeah, no, he's really a very fine filmmaker. He also has worked over the last, say, 10, 15 years, helping a lot of younger filmmakers. That's what he does a lot now, producing work by younger filmmakers. So he's really a very active figure, but, as I said, is less well-known, certainly to American filmgoers, than, say, either Zhang Yimou or Chen Kaige.
And I think he works for the Beijing Film Academy.
Yes, I believe he also teaches there. I'm not sure if he's a regular professor, but I know he has taught there.
And The Gold Master took him several years to complete, isn't it?
It was a very difficult production because it was a co-production between China and Japan, and I think the financing was a little bit precarious to do that on both sides. I think, unhappily, I think there was it's a very touchy issue because it really is something which, in a certain way, while you could say bridges a cultural divide, it also is set during a time of great tension, a lot of it set in the 1930s. So I think it was a subject that both perhaps the Chinese and the Japanese were a little fearful of in a way. But again, it really, I wouldn't say it's a non-political film, but it really is about somebody who tries to live his life outside the world. And Go is a great metaphor for that because I guess if you are in that world at the level that Wu was, you really can shut yourself off from everything else. It really becomes a universe in and of itself.
Right. And let's move on to the second movie selected for the 44th New York Film Festival. It's from Hong Kong, directed by Johnny To.
Yes, Johnny To is really almost one of the last of the kind of great breed of Hong Kong filmmakers who were, on the one hand, highly commercial directors really working in an industry that was very much set up, obviously, for profit and whatever, but at the same time has always managed, in some of his works, to maintain a very personal voice. So I think he's sort of a director for maybe he makes, you know, two for the kind of box office and one for himself, as I think he would like to put it. And this is certainly one for himself. It's an incredible film about a succession that goes on in a Hong Kong triad where the rule is, or the practice is, that one can remain president only for a limited period of time, and the president gets to sort of more or less anoint his successor, but he can't hold on to the job. And all that's fine until there is somebody who decides he does want to hold on to the job. And that starts a fight among the various factors in this large criminal triad group. And it's a really very chilling film. I think it's a film that has some interesting overtones in terms of the contemporary situation in Hong Kong. And Johnny To is really a terrific artist. And again, I think it's a nice example of how one can use a popular genre to be making a much more serious statement.
Is this a second series second movie of
it's
a series?
It's actually the original title was Election 2. There was an Election 1. They're very loosely connected. I mean, certainly one doesn't have to see the first one to understand the second. It's completely self-explanatory, but it does keep some of the same characters.
And the first film will be shown actually today.
Yes, Cheng Shuangzhuang's film is today, I believe, at 3 o'clock, and tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, I believe. And he's here actually this weekend, so if you come to Alice Tully Hall, I think there probably are still some tickets available, you'll not only get to see the film, but get to hear Cheng Shuangzhuang talk about the film. And he's a fascinating man with, a very, very deep understanding of his work, so it's a great experience.
Is this movie's first screening ever?
Actually, it is for Cheng Shuangzhuang's movie. We don't require things like this, but it does turn out that The Go Master is a world premiere in that sense. It has not been shown. It will be shown in a few weeks at the Rome Film Festival in Italy, and I'm assuming it'll be shown soon in China or Japan.
Okay. Okay, let's take another break, and we'll be back.